So we need somebody to do a short jump. And I must have been the only one who was stood there, sort of like thinking to himself, oh, these lights are nice in here. And everyone else must have stepped back, because then the coordinator's like gone, right, you're doing that's great. And I'm like, oh, okay then, right.
And you had to fold over the stair.
I had to fold over it. So yes. I'm coming in chest first. It was a Jackie Chan style.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Totally gag.
Hit it chest first. It's like snap and then fall again.
Yeah,
but geez. I'd hit, my foot went through the set. My body was falling, but my foot was stuck in the set, so that broke as it come out.
Hello and welcome to Cunning Stunts with myself, David Holmes. Ever since I was a teenager, I've been performing as a stuntman on feature films. And for 10 years, I was the stunt double for Harry on the Harry Potter films. Whilst preparing a stunt for the final film in the series, I suffered a spinal injury that had the effect of paralysing me from the chest down and ending my career. However, in the decades since the accident, my love of stunts, the stunt performer community and movies has never wavered. So I'm starting this podcast to highlight and pay tribute to the amazing performers who make up the stunt community, giving you first-hand accounts of the work that goes into crafting some of the mind-blowing action scenes you've seen on films such as Star Wars, Mission Impossible, and The Avengers, while also revealing the grit, talent, and bravado of those that risk their lives in the name of entertainment. One quick note, the other voice you'll hear occasionally is Dan Radcliffe, one of my best friends and acting double on the Harry Potter films. He's been sitting in on some of these interviews. So today we've got Marvin Campbell on the show. And funnily enough, Marvin was my gymnastics poster boy when I was growing up. The former Olympian who's gone on to be an accomplished stuntman. In this interview, he talks about what it's like to transition from professional athlete into professional stunt performer. He also talks about some of the stunts he's done, including working on the crane-to-crane jump on Casino Royale, and why you should always pack your pads when someone tells you it's a simple job. Another subject we touch on in this interview is race. Marvin gives us some insight on what it's like to work as a black performer in a predominantly white industry. At the time we released this interview, there are approximately 442 members on the British Stunt Register. Around 6% are black men and women, a percentage that obviously does not represent the diversity we need to be aiming for. We also touch on a practice known in the industry as blacking up, where white stuntmen are made to double black actors. Although this practice is much less common than it once was, it still does happen. During this moment where every industry in the world is examining itself and its relationship with racism, we think it's a good conversation for people to hear. So, thanks for tuning in, and here's our interview with Marvin. Hope you enjoy. Cool. So, thanks for joining us today. Do you want to just give us an introduction and tell us how long you've been a stuntman for?
So, name's Marvin Campbell, ex-Olympian, gymnastics Olympian. Been a stunt performer on the register since 2005, so we're coming up for like 14 years now.
Yeah, nice.
But I did stunts of a sort, live shows,
yeah,
from 1998.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When did you end your gymnastics career?
I ended in 96.
96, was that after the Olympics?
No, funny story. I retired on the 1st of April, April Fool's Day,
oh,
nice. In 1996, yeah. Because the day before was the trials for those Olympic Games,
right.
And we were only sending two people.
Yeah.
And in the trials, I came third. So oh, I was right. Like,
quit, yeah.
I'm done. I've already done one Olympic Games, World Championships, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I mean, you committed your life to competitive gymnastics from. I remember seeing you doing. I think you snapped a rings or a high bar in front of me.
It was probably.
Yeah.
I assigned something for you.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I mean, you was my poster boy,
yes.
Which is really weird. It's my gymnastics poster boy.
Oh, what?
Yeah,
that's
so
awesome.
When I was probably 10 to 15.
Yeah. No,
yeah, Marvin was like.
What was your
one
Olympics
the
then, Marvin? 92.
Barcelona.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good.
Good times. Old. Yeah. I'm old now.
Best Olympic theme tune as well, obviously.
Yes. Anything. Oh, if I was in
Freddie
it, it was the best.
Barcelona.
Oh, okay. All right, guys. I was three.
Sorry.
Okay. give me a chance.
Sorry.
but
so,
now stunts.
Now stunts, yeah. So what were you like as a kid? I mean, were you always brave and...
No, not so much. Calculated brave.
Yeah.
Really, in the sense of it. I wasn't stupid.
Yeah.
I wasn't one of those kids. Yeah. It was a case of if I hurt myself and then had to go and tell my mum I'd hurt myself,
yeah,
then she'd give me a slap for being stupid.
And then you've also got your gym coaches that you can't tell. And,
yes,
you know what I mean?
And so all of that.
You felt responsible because of your sporting prowess.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice,
and
cool.
And the earache.
Yeah, yeah. So
how straight was the route between after you retired from gymnastics to being a stuntman? Was that sort of a quick, like, oh, that's what I want to do next?
Or? No, not in the slightest. I went from doing gymnastics to teaching and managing a club,
right?
Which I thought that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
After a year, I got very bored because I wasn't doing gymnastics myself, and I'm telling people or teaching people to do what I saw was very basic stuff. So my mind wasn't being active and used.
Right. So you'd say you're an inbuilt performer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Cool, nice. What made you decide to train for the stunt register? Because I remember meeting you when we were on Gary's job, Green Street.
Green Street.
I was training
then. There was another stunt guy on that job as well. We were just doing background stuff. On that with the fights. What made me train was, seriously, I was doing live shows, seemingly knocking my pipe out.
Yeah.
10 shows, 12 shows a week, and not really, and doing the stuff and enjoying it, but then having in my ear, when I did turn up to those kind of jobs that we met on.
Yeah.
On that Green Street, where people were saying, oh, if you did this, you'd earn a lot more money. You'd get a lot more recognition from what you're doing because you can do the stuff.
Yeah.
You're just gonna get lost if you carry on with what you're doing.
Yeah.
So I pushed along those lines.
So what, I mean, not only the commitment financially, but what was your qualifications?
Qualifications, gymnastics was already given because of my level. I went and did trampolining, 10 meter board diving.
We done it together.
We had some fun there, didn't we? And we saw some pain.
Yeah.
Scuba diving, swimming, kickboxing.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yeah, so I did those. I played around with some other stuff, but it was a case of get on the register with what you know you can specialise in or be good at.
Yeah.
And then maybe learn some other stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
As you go along.
I mean, very much learning on the job, isn't it? You think you're qualified and ready to do stunts when you get on the register. That is day one of your training, really.
Yeah, that is. Once you've got on the register, that's when you start training. There's no qualification for falling down a set of stairs. Yeah. There's right. No qualification for being set on fire.
Yeah.
You know, and nowadays, which is coming to light, on-set etiquette.
Yeah.
As a stunt performer, as a film and TV entertainer.
Yeah.
You're not, you know, from where you may have come from, where you might have been the top of your game, everyone knows your name, you sort of like walk around with a bit of a swollen chest. On-set etiquette and being a stunt performer at the base level, you're starting again. You know,
right.
You need to be humble about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, that must have been different for you as well, because, like, you know, not everyone's an ex-Olympian who then becomes a stuntman, so you were absolutely, like, at the top of that, and then that must have been, like, a weird, like, adjustment at first to be like, hey, and I've done more than any of you have done.
it was a big shock.
Yeah.
It was a big shock. And sort of like the people I'd worked for in the beginning made that shock a little bit more shocking than working for other people, let's say.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah,
you definitely took some hazing, yeah.
Yeah, some people are harder to work with.
But you get there in the end.
So I want to talk on one of your first jobs, right, after getting on the register.
Yeah.
Gary brought you in on Casino Royale.
Yes.
And you were doubling Sebastian Fuquan.
Fuquan, yeah.
Fuquan.
Yeah.
And he's a free runner. And it was the chase sequence up the crane and the jump between crane to crane on Casino Royale.
Yeah, that was you.
Now, not only did you win a Taurus for it,
but
I know how ballsy that job was because it was a massive gap. Can you explain it for us?
Yeah, it was a ballsy job. The whole job was ballsy. The stuff I did was ballsy. The stuff that the likes of Adam Curley did in the car, you know, it just a different level.
Yeah.
You know, that I think that film just opened up the doors of what needs to be done in the safest environment. But yeah, that job, you know, you don't go up to 140 foot on a crane sort of every day. And then in that job, once we'd got to Bahamas, that one, once we'd got there, then that was a daily occurrence. 140 foot, we're staying up there all day because we've got these fights to do and et cetera, et cetera. It changes your perspective.
Yeah. Get a bit of a spank jumping crane to crane?
A bit of a spank is an understatement.
Right,
yeah.
I thought.
So the thing is, the whole sequence, I was down as one of the stunt performers to do the crane to crane, which was varying between 30 foot distance gap to about 24 foot, because the cranes...
But starting at 140
foot. Yeah, starting at 100. So you're going down
from
140 to 110. Still 110 to the ground.
The
gap, if I remember rightly, the gap would have been about 12 to 15 feet between the cranes.
Right. But then, like, what are you aiming for? How big's your target?
I'm aiming for a spot. When we did it, it did change because we did rehearsals with a big, what we call a Jonesy deck.
Yeah.
So that was 8 foot by 4 foot Jonesy deck attached to it. Then when I smashed my ankle up and like nearly blew my knee out and all this kind of stuff, when I hit the crane with I was landing on something not much bigger than this chair we sat on.
Yeah.
So that's what I have to look at from close to 30 foot. And the cranes are moving, so the distance and the lines distance was varying. So it's quite a judging.
Yeah. The cranes were moving?
Yeah, because they're on vertical cranes, so they're made to move with the wind or else they'll just snap. So they're made to be a bit flexible. And they jumped to jump. So I ended up in hospital for the day. And then the actual jump from one crane to the next was done by two other stunt guys.
Okay. So obviously that's a risky gag.
Yeah.
And you've been doing it for 14 years now. What was any other riskier gags?
Riskier.
Yeah.
One gag, you were there.
Prince of Persia.
Turn my foot upside down on that one.
Had to jump between building to building
again.
And were asked to do a short jump so you hit into the side.
Yeah,
and you just went through the set wall, didn't you?
Yeah. So I'd done it once. We jumped from one rooftop, which is a set that was built in Pinewood, come down, and you were there that week.
Yeah.
It was all that. So we need somebody to do a short jump. And I must have been the only one who was stood there, sort of like thinking to himself, These lights are nice in here. And everyone else must have stepped back, because then the coordinator's like going, right, you're doing that's great. And I'm like, oh, okay then, right.
And you had to fold over the stair.
I had to fold over it. So
yes.
I'm coming in chest first. It was a Jackie Chan style.
Yeah.
Charlie
gag.
Hit it chest first. It's like snap and then fall again.
Yeah,
but I'd hit, my foot went through the set. My body was falling, but my foot was stuck in the set, so that broke. As it come out.
But do you find that it's the little days of hacking and slashing and getting thrown around where you pick up the most bruises?
Oh, you just get smashed to pieces.
Yeah.
It's an easy job. Just hacking and slashing.
Yeah.
Just hitting the floor. Yeah. Oh, is it? Okay, then I'll bring all my pads. Because that's when you do get battered.
So has there been a film or TV show that you've been a fanboy of and got to work on?
Not a fanboy and worked on it. Yeah, I'd love to work on, like, was it The Walking Dead?
Oh, really?
Absolutely. Would, you know, pretty much do anything.
Yeah.
To have a day on that, a couple of days on that, I love it. I've been a fan of Bond, been on those.
Yeah.
Been a fan of the Star Wars. Not a huge, huge fan, but a following
fan.
Managed to get on there.
Cool.
So just going to list off a few of the stunts. Stairfalls?
Stairfalls, yeah.
Fire job?
Yeah.
Car knockdown?
I've not done too many. I did a good one before I got on the register.
Yeah.
For a low budget. That was a nice one.
Nice. What else? Fight routines? You had a
fight loads.
Yeah, loads of fights.
Absolutely loads.
And do you like that part of the job?
I do like it. Like, for instance, let's say one film, Kingsman, the first Kingsman.
Yeah.
I was part of the team. There's only eight of us. who put that whole church fight from start to finish together.
Yeah.
I do like that.
Yeah.
I'm not a technical fighter, so putting fights together isn't me directly.
Yeah.
Putting an idea in to a fight, you know, and actually getting in there and doing.
Yeah.
I mean, just did one recently for a Guy Ritchie film. And that was nice because it wasn't a technical fight, it was a bruiser fight. So right, you could really, you know, smash yourself about on that and feel like you'd actually done something.
Oh, cool.
Like a doorman type style fighting.
Cool. Yeah, okay. So, cool.
And you know, putting those together, it's good fun.
Yeah.
It is good fun.
It's always fun playing.
Yeah, so there's
beating people
yeah.
up, isn't it?
Fights, stair falls, burns. Yeah. High works I like.
High falls, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, like those.
Yeah. What's your biggest?
Recently I just did on a descender 64 out of a fourth story of a multi-story car park onto the roof of a car.
Oh really?
Yeah.
All in one?
We did it all in one, and then we did the shot of me jumping say 15 foot, so still, you know, you still don't want to do that every day.
Right.
Yeah. onto the top of the car, so hitting the car harder.
Oh,
yeah.
Brilliant.
And but it, you know, when you bounce off the car and then bang into the wall at the side, it livens you up a bit.
What's your best part of a stunt? Performing it or driving home afterwards knowing you've nailed it?
Once I've done it and they say, all right, that's a wrap, that's not a wrap, but that's it, we're moving on.
Yeah.
You have that sense of, ooh, I wouldn't mind doing it again.
Yeah, you know.
That, while you're doing it, you're like, yeah, I'm sure we've got that now, five takes in. Can we move on? As soon as they say we're moving on, you're like, oh, maybe I'll do one more. Yeah. But going home at the end of the day, directly home and not via the hospital, is always a good achievement.
Always important.
Yeah. It's always important, yeah.
So have you worked with any actors and directors you admire?
Yeah, Chris Nolan.
Yeah.
As a director, great.
Yeah.
Absolutely, you know, I love the way he works. Inception.
Inception, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. So that, the way he worked on that is great.
I've heard he sort of knows exactly what he wants.
He does.
He's very good at communicating it. And,
once he's seen it, that's him. He's done, like, move on.
Great.
And so you feel, with him as a director, you feel confident, really, really confident.
But how do you handle fears and pressure? Obviously, through your gymnastics career, you used to pressure.
Used to pressure, as you remember, fear of doing a new move.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and stuff like that. So, how I handle it, I'm very much a case of, I'm here to do it, so it needs to get done.
Yeah.
You know, and all the calculated stuff, I think less on what the stunt is. Or I try to think less on what the stunt is and think more on the technical side of actually doing it. So, you know, the stunt is smashing into a wall, for instance. The technical side of it is turning at the right time, coming in at the right speed, coming in at the right angle. Any of those that I don't think about and don't employ make that end result not really what you wanted. So I try and think about those bits and not the...
Are you more scared of hurting yourself or getting it wrong?
More scared of getting it wrong.
So, just talking about hurting yourself, do you mind going top to bottom and listing some injuries?
Stunt-wise?
Yeah.
Concussion?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a mild... I didn't actually go to a hospital over that one. It's just a case of there's not something quite right and there's a couple of minutes missing from the last part of the day. So, I know that happened and maybe I should have sorted that out. There was that. Another film, a shield, riot shield, sliced across the side of my face, nearly took my eye out. So I had to have emergency. It was emergency. I went straight to hospital, and had the top half and the bottom half of my eyelids sewn back on because those were hanging off. That was and that was a banging into a shield in a riot scene.
Nice.
Yeah. So anyone who watches it knows the film that we were talking about. But that's that. So that's an eye. That's one eye on that one. I got hit in the eye and then sort of not lost complete sight in it, but it was a bit dodgy for a day or two.
Your eyes don't know much, aren't
No, they? I'm looking where I'm going. That's why I should shut my eyes a little bit more, isn't it? And then I'm all right. So that's that. Hurt my back a couple of times
doing
stuff. Shoulders, not so much. Hands, yes.
Yeah.
Hands and fingers. I've knocked about, not really to a point of having to go and do anything, but you know that there's something not right and they've swollen back up. Took a chunk out of the back of my hand on a simple job.
Yeah.
A very simple job. Took the chunk out of the back of my hand on that. Knees, quite regular. As you know, I've done my knee on the bond.
Yeah.
Then I did my other knee on another job. I did my ankle, Prince of Persia and bond.
Yeah.
So
it's good.
You had your fair share.
I've had my fair share. Yeah. And at the moment, I've got a dodgy hip and I'm not too sure where that's come from or what that is, but it's got to be stunts.
Yeah.
So.
What have been some of your favourite locations that you've worked on?
Ooh.
Obviously Bahamas.
Bahamas. Panama was good.
Yeah.
In fact, Chile. They're all the same job.
Oh, wow.
They're all the same job. Yeah.
Chile.
Oh,
wow.
I was only out there for a little while, but, you know, it was great. Yeah. Even, and same film again. Same franchise, not the same film.
Yeah.
But Austria.
Yeah.
We went out to Austria, and that was minus 10, minus 15 and more.
Jesus. You know?
So it's cold. Yeah. Not really where you want to be at that time, but at location-wise, and for what we did, you know, that was, you're like, it's cool.
Awesome. Yeah.
So you do have that, and then you do have some, you know, I'm a stuntman, get me out of here.
Yeah, type
stuff.
Now, it's a difficult question. Are you ready?
Yep.
In an industry which is underrepresented in regards to diversity?
Yes.
In front and behind of camera?
Yeah.
Have you ever, do you think you've had equal opportunity in your career?
No.
No?
No.
Do you mind touching on why?
I feel it's an industry wide thing.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
Is it a problem?
Some people will.
You
say it's a problem. For me, as a black performer, to say it's a problem may have people sniping. I feel it is a problem. Problem is or isn't the right word. I feel I've not had. Me and a number of other black people before me and these that are following as in the footsteps of a black stunt performer.
Yeah.
I don't feel that is sort of equally represented. Well, I was made aware that someone was blacked up less than 6 months ago.
What?
On the job. Yeah, not for the sake of there isn't any black stuntmen or women available for the job, just the person who had the job. Yeah, this is what I was made aware of. So it's third hand as well, directly, but you know, people can do all their own research and that.
Yeah.
And it was a case of, if on the outside, they just convinced production that this was the best person for the job.
Yeah.
But they couldn't say myself or another performer or this had actually had a phone call.
Right.
Yeah? And I've been to a job where the production, I got called, this was a number of years ago, and this was on a TV thing. The production, I got a phone call on a Friday night at 11 o'clock at night. And this was back in the day when I used to do door work as well.
Yeah.
So I was working on a door till 3, still to make ends meet type deal. So I'm working till 3. I've got a phone call at 11 asking me to be in Wales for 7 o'clock the next day on a job, which I didn't really understand the reasons why. I thought it was just a last minute issue. And then found out that wardrobe and hair and makeup, they'd had crisis meetings with the production to say if, and they knew me as well. They knew of me as a person anyway. And they said, if a black stunt performer doesn't sit in my chair on Saturday morning, we will not do the job. And I didn't know until I got there.
What's
really sad is that there's another department that's having to make that fight for you.
Yeah. It's
a really tough one.
It's a tough one, but you know, and I'll be one of the first to say it as well. I said it recently to coordinators who phoned me up. What is it you want me to do in a car? Yeah. Because if you want me to do things like put it up on two wheels, do this, do that, I might not be the best person for the job. If you want the car thrown around nice and loosely, a little handbrake turn here, stop on a mark, I have no issues with that.
Yeah.
Because I'm not pushing to my level line.
So when there isn't a driver that's black on the register that can put a car on two wheels,
Yeah.
Where's the stunt coordinator and the
stunt coordinator? Then they're in. As far as I see it, they are in a good position to say to production, this is the situation.
Yeah.
Right. X, Y, Z. You know, 1, 2, 3, A, B, C.
Yeah.
Done. What they're not in a good position to do is not have phoned round, not have asked in the first instance. Yeah. To get that position filled.
Yeah.
Yeah. And exhausted their avenues of that. It's the same.
Same thing applies to men doing women's stunts?
Yes. I think it's the same.
It's
man, woman, black, white, Indian. Yeah. It's the same thing. If you're having to black somebody up, yeah, there's a problem. Unless you've exhausted all your avenues. Yeah. If you're having to use a man instead of a woman without exhausting your avenues, as I see it, then there's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's a case of, on the women's side, there's women who do stairfalls with skirts on and very little pads.
Yeah.
So what's the problem?
Yeah.
Why are you bringing in a fella to do that?
Yeah.
When there are, you know, if you say, oh, well, we haven't got someone the right size, we all know that you can be 3-4 inches different from the person you're doubling.
Yeah.
And the camera is not going to notice, because if the camera notices that, then there's a problem with the film in the first place.
If you're through a fall or something, you're never going to judge size.
Yeah, exactly. And stuff. So, yeah, there is a call or a cause for blacking someone up, lightening somebody down, if those avenues have been exhausted. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. If, and that's me being diplomatic, black, white, men and women, it's a case of we've got an ethnic minority performer. They're not experienced in this, 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 and this, but someone says they're good at.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that person's hurt himself. Yeah. It's not the skill that they're doing, it's the environment they're doing it in, which causes the issue.
So, what do you think specifically stunts can do better in encouraging more diversity and just a level playing field for all performers?
Previous to now, it's been very expensive within this country to become a performer because you have to go out off your own back and finance all these different stuff, and some of them can come in quite expensive.
Yeah, it's 30 grand. If you're not willing to commit
30 grand or so to get on the register, it's going to be very difficult. And just because of the way the world is, the country is, it's inherently more difficult for ethnic minority people backgrounds to access those finances.
Right.
But if there's no one fighting for you, what I mean? You've got to raise these to the British Stunt Register.
I've asked lots of questions before on various stuff, and you can be seen as the trouble causer, not the problem solver. You've got this side of the fence, and that you've got the trouble causer and you've got the problem solver, and you're seen more as a trouble causer for raising these things, to the point for myself where I don't raise a lot of what I say I think anymore because it feels like it falls on deaf ears. The younger guys, it seems like the younger sort of ethnic minority performers seem a little bit more together.
Yeah.
That's how I see it. But I've been in the game now a number of years compared to some of them who've only been on 2 or 3. So
Do you feel like raising those questions have been detrimental to your career?
Yes. Yeah. Raising that kind of stuff has, there's one or two that I've raised and then, it's felt like me opening my mouth.
There's still bullies out there, isn't there, mate?
Listen,
do you have aspirations to be a stunt coordinator or second unit director?
Now, a stunt coordinator is what I would like to be a stunt coordinator. Yeah.
Are you full member yet?
No.
No, you just got to put your paperwork in. You've done enough stunts.
It's putting the right paperwork in because I've done a lot of stunts and I've done a lot of jobs. I haven't been left in charge on a day, it's difficult to put in paperwork for that. That's all I need. And the other side of it is, What am I this year? I've even forgotten how old I am. I'm 48 this year.
No.
Yeah.
Are you really?
Yeah, 48 this year. So 48, it's I'm getting up a little bit slower.
Yeah.
From being smashed about nowadays. So
fair enough.
I wonder if I can be a coordinator. Yeah. It's hands in pockets.
Yeah,
my stump bag.
You still happy to get the stump bag out?
I'm still, show it, like open it up, let a bat and a bit of dust fly out of it, close it up again.
Or you leave the bruises in the bag.
Yeah.
What about if your daughters had an interest in going into it, would you encourage them to go into the?
Yeah. At this stage. At this stage in the way that stunts and things are, I'd be happy to bring them in, yeah, but then I would be very much, you're not working for him.
Yeah.
You're not working for them.
Yeah.
You know, I would be very much very protective because I've been there, so I've seen, and I go, no. Okay. If they phone up, either don't answer the phone or tell them you're already busy.
How do you find commitments, work and life, you know, like with going away with working and training and being a father as well? How do you find it?
It's been different. At the time, I don't think you see it. And I think that's the thing that stunt performers now, even at my age and the new ones, need to have their eyes open to. You don't notice it while it's going on. And 3, 4, 5 years go down the line, you've hardly been at home, you've hardly seen people grow up. Friends have gone and disappeared because you don't see them. And just being on WhatsApp, Facebook and this isn't enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been difficult. The last couple of years, I've readdressed that.
Yeah.
I have done less work.
Yeah.
Over the last couple of years, but I've not felt bad for it.
You had more life.
Because I've had more life. I've had more life for myself. More quality time.
Yeah.
With my kids. Yeah. And my partner. And you see your house that you're paying for.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, you actually do stuff. I was saying this morning, you know, it's you go from one end of the scale. You know, you're a stunt performer. You're in a hotel. You're playing flights are paid for. Someone picks you up from a hotel, takes you to work. Finish that job. Yesterday, the last 2 days, I've been digging holes in the driveway to put in. So I've been labouring. 2.5 foot hole took me all day, and I'm like, this is why I don't labour. Real life. Is actually quite cool.
I think.
You know, and stunts and tears isn't a real life because it is a bit.
It's all make believe.
Yeah. So, but real life is pretty cool sometimes.
Yeah. You know, part of the job you love. What's the best bit?
The part of the job I love. The people in the industry that you like and get on with.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't have. I didn't go to school with any of them. I didn't grow up with any of them.
Yeah.
The people who I see as good friends within the stunt industry, yeah, I would never have met them.
Yeah.
So I enjoy that side of the people that I call friends. Yeah. I could say pop round my house, or they say pop round, you know, or like yourself. I've known you since.
Since I was seven, eight,
you know, stuff like that, you know, and then through into stunts. You know, otherwise we'd have done gym, we'd have gone our separate ways and never met again.
Yeah.
You know, and it, you know, things like that. So, you know, I love that kind of stuff. I love what stunts as a job has afforded me.
Yeah.
And you know what I can give back.
Yeah.
Because of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's hopefully I can be a coordinator and give a little bit more.
Yeah. Nice. Good luck with it. Get the days in, mate.
Dude, thank
Get
you
the
so
days
much.
In
that
this
was
in.
Like
yeah, thank you very
illuminating
much.
Illuminating and fascinating.
Thank
man.
You.
Yeah,
it's
thank
great.
You very much.
So,
cheers, Mark.
Yeah, all good.
Okay, thanks, Marvin, for joining us on this episode of Cunning Stunts. That's it for now, but we'll be back again very soon. Until then, take care and thanks for listening.
Ripple Production podcast series produced by myself, David Holmes, and Amy Stairs. Sound recording, editor and music by Joe Lamb. To find out more about us, please visit our website www.rippleproductions.co.uk or follow us on Facebook and Instagram.